It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Mayor of Auckland, Phil Goff, joins us on the telephone line. Hello, Phil, how are you?
I am good, thanks, Mikey. I went to the Santa Parade on Sunday, and that means that there's probably only about 26 sleeps until Christmas. Boy, isn't that exciting?
Who's your favourite at the Santa Parade? Was it SpongeBob SquarePants, or was it Peppa Pig? Was it Santa himself?
Well, you know I'm not allowed to have favourites, but hey, I walked with the walking school bus, which I did last year as well, and they're kind of my favourites because I think it's a great scheme.
You so know, do I think school, walking school. I
remember when the school and a bit of exercise.
Remember when they first introduced them, I thought they're such a cool idea, and they're just a thing now, aren't they, the walking school bus?
Oh, I think it's really great. I mean, to tell you the truth, it's what we used to do when we were kids, but, you know, times have changed. There's more traffic on the roads. People are a bit more worried about safety issues. But this is a way of, you know, 10% of the traffic in the peak morning rush is parents taking their kids to school. So if we can get more kids in walking school buses, good for the kids, good exercise, but it also takes congestion off the roads. So I'm really behind that program, and that's why I march with them, and they're such lovely people.
And they're very rarely late either.
they're on time, and you know, mum or dad can see the kids off at the door and know that they're going to get to school safely.
But a beautiful country we've got here, Phil. A beautiful harbour we've got here. Did someone sneak out of? Did you sneak in a little an 80 meter extra 80 meters at the end of the Queen's Wharf last week since we last spoke?
I didn't sneak anything. What we decide in council is open to the media, covered online, and everybody can see what is happening and hear the explanations of why. Now let me just run over that really quickly with you.
Yeah, because we did talk about the dolphin.
Dolphin. I said during the campaign, I said I didn't want the port encroaching on the harbour, but cruise ships still needed to come into the central business district. Each ship brings in, I think, on average, about $1 million worth of expenditure into our local economy.
You can tell from all the shops and stores down that area, pretty much focused just on that.
Yeah, and it's getting bigger all the time, but so too are the cruise ships. So the cruise ships used to be able to tie up at Prince's Wharf and at Queen's Wharf, but now they've got big ships. Like in January, we had the Ovation of the Seas. Ovation of the Seas. What names, eh? Yeah. So that's about 348 metres, and it had to anchor out in the channel because it couldn't tie up. Now, the problem with that, I went out on it. This was right at the start of the new year.
I think next time you need to take us here at the Breakfast Show out there too, have a look.
Yeah, why
just,
not?
I'm comfortable with it.
Yeah, I didn't go on the cruise. I just went out to have a look at the ship.
Yeah, but that's right. That's fine.
They conveyed us to and from in these little lighter boats, but they've got 4,900 passengers, and they're here for a day, you know, for about 8 or 9 hours.
Right.
So by the time they've unloaded, they've got to start immediately loading up again. So they've said, look, we can't come to Auckland unless we can berth. It's just a fact of life. And the new ships that are replacing the medium-sized ships are now 360 metres. So we had to have a way of being able to tie them up at Queen's Wharf. And instead of an extension of the wharf or reclamation, I was comfortable with the idea of a dolphin, which is like a buoy that's anchored to the harbour base.
Like a huge, big anchor, isn't it? Obviously big enough so that a massive cruise ship can't shake it. Yep.
Yeah. It's a concrete structure.
It stands against the tides and whatever else comes at it.
I said, look, I didn't mind a dolphin if that's what's needed. What I was against, and I'm actually still against it, is why they have to have a walkway out to the buoys. And they say it's for health and safety reasons for the people working for the harbour, for the ports of Auckland to tie the ships up. And I said, have a look at Sydney. They don't have that. They go out in a little boat and do it. Yeah. And I fought and I fought and I fought. And in the end, the harbour master that has the authority and the ports of Auckland that have the authority said, we're going with the walkway. And I could have said, well, stuff you guys, we won't do the dolphins at all. But that means that an increasing number of ships would not come to Auckland, that instead of having a growth in our cruise ship industry, it would go into stagnation and we'd lose about half the value of it.
Right.
And I said, hey, to me, the jobs that those ships create, you know, in retail and service industries, and the jobs that gives to our kids are more important than my opposition to having a walkway out to it. So that's the reason I stated that in public. I'm stating it again now. I stand by that. That's the right decision to make. I wished I didn't have to put up with the walkway, but I don't have the power to override the harbour master, which some people might say is a good idea. But I remain sceptical about it. But that's the compromise that I was forced to meet because I don't have the power to override the harbour master.
How does that affect the environment under the surface of the harbour?
It doesn't. What?
Well, it does. It's got a massive, great, big, huge concrete thing there.
Oh yeah. Well, when you say massive, it's 10 meters and it sits on the harbour floor, but it doesn't have any significant environmental impact.
Okay,
the main impact, mate, I suppose, is that if you've got the walkway out there, the yachties can't. They've got to go around it rather than between the two dolphins that are out there.
Yeah, I see.
It's not a huge issue, but I would rather have done it in a different way. But in the end, the choice was, do we want our cruise industry to survive and thrive with the jobs it can create in Auckland, or don't we? And if we wanted it to, we needed to be able to berth the ships. It's as simple as that.
Speaking of yachties, what's this America's Cup hosting fee? You're not paying that, are we?
Yeah. Well, I'm resisting that, absolutely. And I've told Grant Dalton that. I saw the story on the weekend where, the Soichi in Russia or the United Arab Emirates at Abu Dhabi are offering $116 million hosting fee for the America's Cup to go there. I am not entering into that game. I'm not entering into that bidding war. And I'm saying to Team New Zealand, I have done everything possible to get you a team base where you can set up the water space, the land space you need to conduct a successful America's Cup. I want to have the cup here. I want the vibrancy and the excitement it brings. I want the focus on New Zealand, and the focus on our beautiful harbour. I want the $500 million to $1 billion that it brings in revenue to the country and jobs and help to the private sector in Auckland. But I do have a bottom line. I'm stretching my budget just as far as I can justify, and I can't justify paying a big hosting fee. The government's
After all the work you've done, isn't this a bit of a kick in the guts, for want of a better term, from Team New Zealand?
Well, we love the sport as a sport, but it's also a big business, and those guys are professional. They make their career out of it. They make their they earn their professional income out of it. They're always going to try us on that. A guy like Sir Stephen Tindall, massive respect for that guy. He turned up.
He's on the North Shore, just so you know.
Yeah. I had massive conversations, major conversations with him. He said, look, we'll settle for a compromise. We won't take the wharf out, the 230 metres they needed, or they said they needed. And he wants it to be in Auckland. I think probably the whole of Team New Zealand do underneath it all. But we've got a bottom line. And it's the amount of funding that I can expend on this, because any money I spend on this is at the expense of something else.
True.
So, of course, we want the America's Cup here. Every councillor, everyone, they unanimously supported hosting the cup and the alternative option that we put. We've taken the long wharf off the agenda, so Team New Zealand know where we are on that. They are, by and large, accepting of that. We're continuing to work with them. I'd prefer the extension to be less than what they're talking about, which still could be, up to 73 metres. We're trying to get them to pull that back. We'll do our best on that. But in most of these things, it's trying to find the balance and trying to find the compromise. I could go out on my white horse and say, no, bugger off, go somewhere else. I don't think Aucklanders would thank me for that. And I don't want to do that. I want the cup here. I want what it brings to Auckland. But I also want to preserve and protect the harbour to the extent that we can. And I've got a responsibility to be the guardian of the ratepayers' money. That's your money and my money that we're spending. And it's money we've got to look after and be careful with.
All right, Phil, you're taking a stand against racism in New Zealand by supporting the Give Nothing to Racism initiative.
I think that's really important. 40% of us here in Auckland were born overseas. We're a multicultural and diverse city. We, by and large, celebrate that. It's a great thing. It makes our city more vibrant and interesting and, you know, the great thing about Auckland, I think, is that most people live and let live. They get along with each other. You know, when you grow up and you go through school, like all of our young people do, and it's a multicultural school, and you grow up with kids from, you know, whose parents come from all over the world, you accept that as a natural part of life. You study with them, you play with them, you work with them, and for a lot of us, we'll end up intermarrying with people of different racial origins. We should have no tolerance for racist views that cause conflict and do damage in our society. So it's a bottom line for me, and Susan Devoy and Taika Waititi are heading up this campaign. They approached me, would you give your endorsement to it? Of course.
What do you think of the way that the news media and I guess the police treated the whole situation with the Tongan Rugby League fans over the weekend?
Well, you know,
because I found that pretty racist.
I thought it was so cool
to see that outpouring of support, yeah. And you know, and genuine thrill, a genuine thrilled part of the population there. You know, and sold out Mount Smart for the first time in how long for a league game?
And good on the Tongan community.
Go Tonga!
Getting behind their team, and since we didn't have a team in it, we were behind the Tongan team as well. All respect to the Brits, of course. Look, I'm reluctant to label police action as racist. 99% of the Tongan fans were out there just to have a good time, but there's something under 1% that go out, bash a policewoman unconscious, graffiti other people's cars, assault other people, and just zero tolerance for racism, zero tolerance for people who go around bashing up other people. I'm not going to tolerate that, and I'm not going to call somebody racist for saying, if you misbehave, doesn't matter what, whether you're black, white, brindle, or red, you're going to feel the effect of the law.
I'm just wondering how much of it was sort of was stirred up by the angle that it was, especially the news media took on it. But anyhow,
just remember, that's a tiny minority of people.
Yeah,
and they're
yeah.
like football hooligans anywhere in the world.
But if you have a picture on the Herald website of that says police prepared for Tongan post-match trouble, and it's a picture of a little kid cheering at the game. That sucks.
Yeah.
That's sucking.
Yeah,
really badly.
That's probably poor media coverage.
Yeah, that's all.
Look, I it was just like when we had the Rugby World Cup, and in my then electorate of Mount Roskill, you could tell every house in the electorate where Fijian people, Tongan people, Cook Island people, Samoan people lived, and people were out there celebrating their identity and celebrating their sports team, and it was great. It didn't cause any trouble at all. I'll tell you what, I'm pissed off about a handful of people that go out and cause problem for the sport and cause problem for their community.
Sure.
And they can get stuffed as far as I'm concerned. If they belt somebody and the policeman can catch them and throw the book at them, yeah, good on the police force for doing that.
All right, my last question to you is, why are there so many helicopters over where I live at the moment? It's so noisy, low-flying all times of the day and night. Jesus, it's getting on my tits, Phil.
Well, it might be the Eagle helicopter, and you might live in a crime-ridden neighbourhood.
I live in One Tree Hill / Onehunga, and Swidit won an award, and I thought maybe they'd give me free helicopter rides or something like that.
No, look, I've got no idea. The only time
can you look into that for me, because I understand helicopter, I understand the Eagle helicopter, I understand, but man, there is just so much of it.
And helicopters are noisy beasts, and I have them coming over my place from time to time. But
slow and low and noisy.
Yeah,
and
I noticed that. Ugh. Mainly when I was out campaigning during election time, how often that police helicopter, I mean, we've just now lifted those services to 24/7, and they are really effective, and, you know, we're not going to keep the helicopter out of the sky if it's doing important work, but, yeah, you know, by and large.
But hey, if you haven't caught it after an hour, stop flying around. If you haven't get the dogs out or something like that.
I reckon it probably will be the police helicopters, because those are the ones that hover. Every time if there's a bank robbery or a shop robbery, then they'll be over and they'll be keeping an eye on what's happening. So yeah, it is a pain in the butt, but hey, it may be a necessary pain in the butt.
All right. Thank you, Phil.
Okay. Thanks, bye-bye. Mikey.
Thanks for talking to us. Cheers. Phil Goff, Mayor of Auckland.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.